We will now start the CD. Do not open the booklet until the CD tells you to.
You will hear a number of different recordings and you will have to answer questions on what you hear. There will be time for you to read the instructions and questions, and you will have a chance to check your work. All the recordings will be played once only. The test is in 4 sections. At the end of the test, you will be given 10 minutes to transfer your answers to an answer sheet. Now turn to Section 1. Section 1. You will hear a telephone conversation between an employer from the Wild Dunes Spa and Resort and an applicant. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 5. You will see that there is an example which has been done for you. On this occasion only, the conversation relating to this will be played first.
Hello, is this John Murphy?
Hi, yes it is.
Hi John, this is Ed Heisenberg from the Wild Dunes Spa and Resort, calling about your application for our lifeguard position. Do you have a few minutes to talk?
Yes, absolutely.
The employer says that he is calling about the application for their lifeguard position. So, lifeguard has been written in the space. Now we shall begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 5.
Hello, is this John Murphy?
Hi, yes it is.
Hi John, this is Ed Heisenberg from the Wild Dunes Spa and Resort, calling about your application for our lifeguard position. Do you have a few minutes to talk?
Yes, absolutely.
Great, could you give me your address?
Sure. My address is 45 Elsinore Court.
I'm sorry, was that Eleanor? Could you spell that for me?
Sure, it's Elsinore. E-L-S-I-N-O-R-E.
Number we should reach you at in the future, 09985767?
No, that's my home phone. But let me give you my mobile number instead, 077-896-245. Call me on that one.
Okay, I'll make a note of that. Could you tell me your availability?
Sure, I'm usually available during afternoons or weekends. I prefer not to be scheduled on weeknights because I work part-time as a waiter.
Don't stay open very late anyway. And do you have any other employment experience?
Yes, I've worked at a few other places. I was the baseball coach at Richmond High School last season.
I see. And do you have any other experience that you would like us to note on your application?
Yes. Last year I worked at the beach as a rescue diver.
Rescue diver? That sounds intense.
Well, it's really just like being a lifeguard, except in the ocean instead of pool. So, kind of like being a lifeguard at the world's largest pool.
I see.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 6 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 6 to 10.
So could you tell me about the relevant skills you have? I'm guessing a lot given your experience.
I'm CPR certified and have 2 years of diving experience.
Great, it sounds like you are well qualified for this position. When does your CPR certification expire?
I think in November, but let me quickly check my CPR card. Actually, it expires in October.
Okay, so regardless, you have it through the end of the summer. When is your ideal time to work?
Since I work in the restaurant on weeknights, I like weekends best, specifically Saturday mornings.
I see. We do already have a lot of staff available on Saturdays, but I do need an early morning shift lifeguard. How early could you work Saturday morning?
I can get there by 6 o'clock if need be.
You'll be happy to know we open a little later than that, but I'll put you down for Saturday mornings here.
Oh, awesome. I can't wait to get started.
How about you come in next Saturday, the 12th?
That sounds good.
Great. We can figure out other shifts for you to work when you come in then. One last thing, just out of curiosity, where did you hear about us?
I heard your ad on the radio while I was driving this morning.
You know, I think you're the first person who has responded to our radio ads. It's almost always people who have seen us in the newspaper.
Yeah, I don't have time to read through the newspaper every morning. I have plenty of time in the car to listen to radio ads.
That makes sense. Well, thanks for your time, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the 12th.
That is the end of section one. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section two. Section two. You'll hear an HR representative of Earn and Learn giving some information about her company. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 16. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 16.
Welcome to all of you. Can everybody see and hear me? Good. I'm Sarah Connor, an HR representative of Earn and Learn. I have been asked today to talk to you about our company. So, for those of you who don't know very much about the company, let me start by giving you some basic information about it. Earn and Learn started nearly 20 years ago. It is not a charity, but a for-profit company that enables promising entrepreneurs to make money while traveling. During the past 10 years, it has grown rapidly and has gained great influence in most countries of the world. We have a partnership with the school and take a large number of recent graduates from the business school. So, if you are a recent graduate, I'd say you can consider applying to our company. Before your application, you might be curious about what sort of places you could go to. There are four main locations, but you also have the freedom to submit a different location, and if they can make the necessary arrangements, you can go. The first country Earn and Learn established locations was the US, where you may choose from multiple locations, as long as you can commit to their more rigid schedule of August to December. Also, you could do the Australia internship. That one is really cool. You work at a wildlife shelter and learn about the business practices of non-profit organizations. You do have to be willing to commit 8 months for that one, though. Perhaps that's a long time to be so far away, but I would say it is really an amazing opportunity. I don't know whether some of you are in decent physical shape. If so, the South Africa internship is another exciting one. You learn a lot about sustainable farming, but you would be doing some of the manual labor involved in maintaining a farm. Indeed, it's hard work, but I think you would definitely be able to do it. It may be wise to wait until after their summer is over, so it's not so terribly hot. In addition, there is a most recently established location in India. This one gives you more of a study abroad feel, given that they arrange a host family for you to stay with. In the other locations, you live in an apartment with other interns, so this is definitely a unique experience.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 17 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 17 to 20.
Regardless of where you go, at the end of the program, you get a global traveling certificate, as long as you can explain your experience. You can provide a written log of what you did. I recommend writing journal or blog entries about what you do every day, or a weekly summary of each day. Of course, you don't have to write up a formal report or anything like that, and you need to apply for it once you have returned. Some students may want to know whether this is a paid internship. Actually, you have to pay for the flight there yourself. But you have the opportunity to create your own small business, which could earn you money if it's successful. So basically, you pay for it all up front, but when you're there, you can find ways to make money. That is to say, you pay for 2/3 of the cost up front as a deposit, and then give the final installment 1 month prior to your return. Finally, I have to remind you that you need a health check before you go to make sure you're not going to spread any communicable diseases. In addition, before you go, you don't have to attend any meetings or workshops. You'll meet everyone you'll be working with once you get there. Okay, well, that's all I've time for today. Thanks for listening, and I'm happy to take any questions if you have them.
That is the end of section 2. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 3. Section 3. You will hear a student called John talking to his classmate Danny about the details of his research project. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 26. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 26.
So, tell me about your research project, John.
I created a questionnaire for the study to determine people's opinions of the relative feasibility of earning a living in Brisbane.
Oh, cool. How is it scored? Are they all multiple choice questions?
Well, the questions consist primarily of yes or no responses. There are two free response questions at the end. Participants will use a computer to fill in their answers. That way, it is really easy to analyze the data afterward.
Great. It sounds like you have a pretty solid idea of what you should do. Just don't forget to submit a copy of your plans to Professor Curran by the 15th.
Oh, I almost forgot.
You don't do it for the high grade or a praise, but he can review and give you feedback.
Right, that will be helpful. He has been conducting studies like this for 30 years now.
Yep. Oh, and I'm curious. Are you going to be in the room giving subjects directions for the questionnaire?
Well, I think the instructions will be provided by another representative who will not be analyzing the data, I want them to feel they can answer and be completely anonymous, so I will not be in the room. Anonymity is really important for this study.
I agree. Good idea. You should tell the representative to remind subjects to fully consider both sides of each issue. Sometimes, it's really easy to immediately check yes or no without stopping to think about it completely.
That's so true. It's like a race to finish the questionnaire first or something. I'll make sure to include that in the instructions. This report has to be perfect.
Wow, what's the big deal? I know it's part of your grades and all.
Well, it's that, but also a well-executed study could grab the attention of faculty in the department, which would be a huge deal.
So, for attention?
No, silly. I mean, I could really gain the respect of professors who may later take me on as a graduate student in their labs.
Oh, I see.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 27 to 30. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 27 to 30.
Let me take a look at the survey. Wow, this looks great. The map of the median income by region is a great tool. Where did you find it?
Well, thanks. I read a lot of sources and just noticed this one in the small psychology journal called Modern Psychology. It's more helpful than the photo I added, but I think the photo is just so interesting. It was in the newspaper last year during that huge wage strike.
It's great. Probably not necessary, but it looks great. I don't understand. What is WKRX's involvement here?
Oh, the radio station agreed to sponsor the study if I play their station in the room.
Wow, interesting. So you don't have to pay for any of this?
Exactly.
Nice. Where did you get that idea?
Last month. At the Psychology Club Council meeting, someone talked about how easy it is to get sponsorship from local businesses, so I listened to their advice and called around.
I'll have to remember that. Well, this all looks great. Good luck.
That is the end of Section 3. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to Section 4. Section 4. You will hear a talk on the research of the behaviour of chimpanzees. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Welcome back to my series of short lectures on apes. Today we will examine recent and historical breakthroughs on the behaviour of chimpanzees, otherwise known as chimps. The word chimpanzee is an umbrella term for two different species of apes in the genus Pan, which are the common chimpanzee or Pan troglodytes, found in West and Central Africa, and the bonobo, or Pan paniscus, which are found in the forests of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Chimpanzees belong to the hominidae family, together with gorillas, orangutans, and indeed humans. Current research tells us that the chimps broke away from the human branch of the hominidae family approximately 6 million years ago and remain the closest living relative to humans to this day. More modern researches into chimpanzees have centered on their behavioral characteristics, once all biological and genetic factors have been ruled out. In this way, scientists have unearthed an unfathomable amount of similarities between human and chimpanzee behavior. Although much of this research has taken place through observation of captive chimps, the results are widely seen as an authoritative reflection of chimps living in the wild. Chimps live in large so-called communities comprised of many male and female members, with the social hierarchy determined by an individual chimp's position and influence. Through such research, scientists have found that chimps learn and adapt through observation of others' behavior. Once in power, the alpha male is often seen to alter its body language in order to retain power. For example, he might puff himself up in order to intimidate others. While lower-ranking chimps are noted to behave more submissively and holding out their hands while grunting. Female chimpanzees also have a distinct social hierarchy, with high social standing inherited by children. It is not unheard of for dominant females within a community to unite and overthrow the alpha male, backing another in his place. James Diamond, in his book The Third Chimpanzee, suggests that chimps should now be reclassified in the genus Homo instead of Pan, and there are many arguments still in favor of this. Male common chimpanzees are, on average, 1.7 meters in height, weighing 70 kilograms, with their female counterparts being somewhat smaller. By comparison, the bonobo is slightly shorter and lighter, but with longer arms and legs. However, both species walk on all fours and climb trees with great ease. Jane Goodall made a groundbreaking discovery in 1960. When she observed the use of tools among chimpanzees, including digging for termites with large sticks. A recent study claimed to reveal that common chimpanzees in Senegal have been using spears sharpened with their teeth to hunt. However, these reports remain unsubstantiated. Researchers have witnessed such tools, namely rocks, being used by chimps to open coconut shells and indeed crushing nuts with stone hammers. As scientific technology has developed, so too has our knowledge of the sheer extent of the chimp's intelligence. Research has now shown that chimps have the capability to learn and use symbols and understand aspects of the human language, including syntax, as well as numerical sequences. As I mentioned earlier, the umbrella term chimpanzee is comprised of the common chimpanzee and the bonobo. These two subspecies are divided along the Congo River, with the common chimps living on one side and the bonobos living on the opposite side of the river. Over the past few decades, both of these subspecies have witnessed an alarming decrease in population density, with animal activists now working harder than ever to protect those remaining and encourage procreation. In addition, next week's episode will focus more closely on how chimpanzees in captivity are able to learn things through imitating the behavior of humans, as well as how chimpanzees' behaviors have developed over many generations. Thank you very much for attending this evening's lecture. I hope you found it intellectually stimulating, and I look forward to seeing you again next week. Good night.
That is the end of section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers.